Good to have you here today as we gather for worship. It's a very special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist today. We've already heard her in our prelude, and we're very grateful she's able to be here today to accompany us and to lead the music part of our service today. Also, a special welcome to those who are visiting today. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a visitor's card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out, place it in the offering plate, so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, directly behind the sanctuary. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll note the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just call your attention to it. Especially next Sunday, we'll be having a combined worship service with Casa de Fe y Alabanza in their worship space, which is next door in our parish house, up on the second floor in Fuller Hall. It is their 15th anniversary, which is a very significant anniversary in the Latin culture. And they're having denominational leaders here, as well as their former pastor will be here. Some other former members will be coming. They're hoping to have 150 people together with between us and them next week. So it will be a lively service, I'm sure. It will be bilingual, so everyone in Spanish or English, whatever native language it is, should be able to understand all that's going on. We will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of the service as well. Following the service, everyone is invited back here to our building, to Judson Chapel, for lunch, which Casa de Fe is providing, and they're having it catered. So I do want to encourage you to come next Sunday, 11 o'clock, next door, not here, but next door. There will be a couple deacons will be here at 11 just to remind folks. We'll have signs on the doors, but we'll be worshiping together next door next Sunday. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 743 for our call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from the Gospels as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship this day. So let us read responsively. Little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them.
Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me and does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Our opening hymn is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 209. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
pray. What was it like back then, Lord? You and your disciples were always being followed. When you tried to rest, you had only to turn around and someone was there to see you. People came from all around to see you, to talk to you, to listen to you. Many wanted to know your love and to feel a healing touch and to experience a kind word. What was it like, Lord? All around, the sick were brought before you. Children wanted to feel your loving smile. You never hesitated to care and love and help and heal and teach. Thank you for being you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be more and more like you. We ask this all in your name. And now join in the prayer that you taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Morning. I barely heard a morning. Good morning. A little bit better. You know what this is? A penny? What can you buy with a penny? Nothing? Used to be able to. Used to be able to do a lot of things with pennies. Used to be what was called penny candy. You could buy some candy for a penny. That was a long time ago. This looks like this penny's been around a while, doesn't it? Yeah, it's pretty dark and tarnished. What about this one? Nice, bright copper. It is. It is. It's dated 2015. It's a brand new penny. Other than looking different, is there any other difference between them? Other than looking different. Any other difference between the pennies? One's shinier and one's duller, yep. Yep, one's older, one's newer. But they work the same way, don't they? If one doesn't buy anything, the shiny one isn't going to buy anything either, is it? Okay. But you know what? Pennies are very important in our church. And those who were in Sunday school last week, I think, learned about a project called the Penny Project. And our denomination, which is the American Baptist churches in this country, have been raising money over the last several years. And our Sunday school several years ago participated in that. And now we're trying to do it a church-wide effort of collecting pennies or other money, but symbolically representing pennies. And what we're trying to raise is one penny for every child living in this country who is poor. Which, I mean, that's not a good label to use, but it's an easy label to understand. Those that live in poverty, okay, those who need, did you want to ask this? It's okay. But it doesn't matter whether they're shiny or dull. All pennies work. So do dimes, nickels, quarters. Now, if somebody brought a quarter in, how many children would that represent? 25 children, that's right. Well, we have a challenge, and the adults are going to hear about this later. Somebody in the church has challenged us to collect, how many? 200,000 candles. Think we can do it? That's not a lot of confidence. Maybe. All the American Baptist churches in the country are trying to raise 5 million pennies before the end of December, by the middle of December. So ours is a drop in the bucket, but ours is starting that way. So I know one of you said, oh, I forgot to bring pennies today. That's okay. We're going to be collecting pennies the next several weeks. But you know, why talk about pennies? Jesus talked about pennies. Jesus said that in one gospel we read that one penny buys two sparrows. And another gospel says that one penny buys two sparrows. The other one says you can get five sparrows for two pennies. So two you get five, one you get two. So it's a better deal if you get five, if you got the two pennies. So I could go get five sparrows for my two pennies. Okay? But then he said, but you know what? Nothing happens to one of those sparrows that God doesn't know about it. And God knows everything that happens. God cares for us. And Jesus said, we're much more important than sparrows. We're much more important than sparrows. So even though we could buy sparrows with pennies in Jesus' day, Jesus said, sparrows are important to God, but we as human beings are even more important. So we're going to be talking penny projects over the next couple of months. You'll probably get tired of hearing about it. So when you see a shiny penny on the ground, what are you going to do? You're going to walk by it? Because that represents a child who doesn't have a lot to eat or drink or maybe even a place to live. So every time we see a penny, we need to pick it up. I know there's a couple of folks in the church that always pick up pennies wherever they see them. And other people will leave pennies behind because it's not worth anything. But the pennies right now are representing, each penny you bring in represents a person, a little girl or a little boy who needs our help. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you use the image of a penny to talk about how important we are to God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to collect and bring in our pennies, our other coins, and even perhaps a dollar bill that will represent so many children who need help in this country. Lord, we know that we can't solve all the problems. But Lord, we do lift up those children today who do not have enough to eat, to drink, or perhaps a place to stay. They may be living on the street or in a temporary shelter. Lord, we just lift them up today, and Lord, we pray that anything that we may do to help them may be blessed by you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, our friend, our Savior. Amen. You may go to your class. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another before going to prayer. We want to continue to remember Peggy Blum as she recuperates at home from her surgery this summer. And we want to continue to remember Claire Stevens as she is in Florida now and is adjusting to life in Florida. And thank goodness for the phone, because she's able to call many of her friends here in New England and keep up to date with us. And it's always good to hear from her and hear how she's doing and to share what's going on here. I want us to remember those who are not able to get out as often. It's been warm weather, and we know what's coming in a few months that's going to be colder weather. But just those that, you know, for whatever reason are confined to their homes or are perhaps in a nursing home, that, you know, what we label as shut-ins or homebound. And just, you know, remember them in prayer today and lift them up. Also, obviously, we want to keep our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers in prayer as they await the arrival of their spiritual leader, Pope Francis, to this country later this week. Also, we want to pray for the family of the little baby that was finally identified this week. Lift up family and friends and that whole situation to God today. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning? May. So May's friend Selma has had a knee replacement, in rehab, and it's taking a little longer than she had hoped. So we want to keep Selma in prayer today as she continues her recuperation and rehabilitation from knee replacement. Anyone else? Dave? Wonderful. Yes, you know, Dave and Dottie have a new grandniece that was born yesterday, I believe. So we celebrate that. And look who's here. Helen Flynn's here. I just looked up and said, look who's here. Helen, it's been a long time. It's good to see you. It's good to see Helen today. Any other requests for prayer? Betty? You want to keep? Yes. Okay. Their son, Buddy, his friend Jim, and also Betty's sister Madeline, who's still in the hospital in Florida. So I want to keep Madeline in prayer today as well, and Jim. Any other requests for prayer? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests, there's something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are a God of grace and mercy, a God of justice and love. Lord, we come this day as your children, seeking to be with other brothers and sisters in the faith, to have a time of celebration, a time right now of opening our hearts and our minds to you. Perhaps unburdening ourselves of something that we just can't share with anybody else. Perhaps so overflowing with joy that it's just bubbling out and we just can't help sharing it with others and with you. Lord, on that long continuum, we may be somewhere in between. But we are so thankful that we're able to come here this day to worship you. Spend these few moments together. And Lord, we just thank you for being able to come here today. We pray for those who are not able to be here today. We pray for your blessing to be upon them. We think especially of those who are the homebound, those who are not able to get out very often, not able to come to church. And Lord, we know that several of our church family members miss being able to come and being part of our worship experience, being part of our church family in an active way. And we lift them up today, Lord, and just pray for your spirit to be with them. Or we pray for those who are ill today and pray for your healing touch in their lives according to your will. We also pray for those who are mourning today, feeling the sense of loss or the death of a loved one. And just pray for your spirit to enfold them and comfort them during this difficult time. Lord, we are mindful of our world, and we just, you know, pray for the areas where there is violence in our world, and we pray for peace across the globe today. We also pray, O Lord, for Pope Francis and the Roman Catholic faith as he is journeying here in Cuba now and coming to the States, and just pray that his trip may be fruitful for him and that people may be open to hearing his message. pray for your spirit to be with him in his travels. And Lord, our news just seems to be filled with sad stories, stories of pain. And Lord, the summer has been a mystery of who baby Doe was. And thankfully, Lord, that we now know who the little girl was. And Lord, it doesn't make the situation any better, but we just pray for that situation. We pray for those involved. We pray for those that feel guilt today because they didn't recognize the image sooner. Lord, we just lift them up, and we pray especially for this little girl who may have suffered. Just, we know, Lord, that you love children, and we just pray that you would bless her and bless all other children in this world. Care for them and bless us, Lord, as we reach out to those children who may be hurting today as well. Lord, you call all of us as your children, and you are our Heavenly Father, and we offer all of these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have sung together and prayed together and read scripture together, and now we have an opportunity of presenting our tithes and our gifts together as a thank you to God for all of his blessings.
Thank you.
us pray. Loving and gracious God, we offer these tithes and gifts to you with songs of praise and words of adoration. We ask that you would bless them and bless these gifts that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And if you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 68 in the back section of the Pew Bible. These are the words of Jesus. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word. And let's pray together this morning. Lord, such simple words we hear from Jesus, such words of comfort, that we are of more value, that Jesus cares for us, that you love us. Lord, as we come this day, some of us may have felt rather unworthy. We may look around and we may judge others and feel that some are less worthy than others. But Lord, we know that we are all equal in your sight as being children of God. We pray this day, O Lord, as we come to receive a word from you, that our hearts and our minds may be open, that the message that we hear may help us in our daily living, and strengthen us to be more faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We ask this all in his name. Amen. I recall as a child in Sunday school learning the words to the chorus of Jesus Loves the Little Children. Perhaps you also learned it as a child, or maybe as an adult, teaching your child at home, or teaching many children in a Sunday school or vacation Bible school setting. The words go like this. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We know that Jesus loves the little children. We read about that this morning in our call to worship. But the question for us is, do we love the little children of the world? Often when I check the news to find out what's happening out there in the world, I am dismayed by many of the reports. War, disease, famine, political unrest, persecution, and poverty, to name just a few issues, affect hundreds of thousands of children every year. Several countries enlist children under 16 into their armed forces, arm them with weapons, and have them fight in combat. The military strategy for this is the belief that children are more impressionable and thus easier to train, which I would go along with. But the other part of that theory is that children are more expendable, and I disagree with that. Thousands of children have been abducted by terrorist groups and held for ransom. Eventually, many of the girls have allegedly been sold, prostituted, or even married to members of the hostage groups. Immigrants from the migrant crisis spilling into Europe have shown bodies of adults and children washed up on the shores as their families were attempting to flee to safety. We could say, oh, that's over there. Yeah. Horrible images. But it's too far away to get too concerned about. But let's move closer to home. Several children who were in the system of the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families have been misplaced, mistreated, and or unprotected. 2 years ago, a 5-year-old boy disappeared, but no one reported him missing for several months, and his remains were found on the side of a road several more months later. This summer, a 7-year-old boy weighing 38 pounds was hospitalized with signs of starvation, dehydration, bruises, and chemical burns on his hands and legs due to the bleach his father forced him to use when scrubbing the floors daily. In the body of a little girl who became known as Baby Doe was discovered on the shore of Deer Island in June. And after a description and computer-enhanced image of her face were widely publicized and viewed millions of times on the internet, she was just identified on Friday as Bella. Baby Bella. In fact, I had worked on this sermon earlier and I had to update my sermon because I now had a name. Originally, my sermon had her still as unidentified. So I'm so thankful that we now know who she is. But unfortunately, her mother and the mother's boyfriend have been arrested in connection with the little girl's murder. These are just a sampling of the cases that made the headlines. Imagine how many other children in this world feel unloved. Suffer the little children. That's what the King James Version of the Gospels say. It's not a pleasant phrase, but maybe there's a poignant truth in this timeless translation. Suffer the little children to come unto me, says Jesus. And quite frankly, today as then, little children are suffering. Children by the thousands are dying of disease and malnutrition, abuse and exploitation, almost unimaginable suffering. In 1758, the Prussian general Friedrich the Great issued a call to the young, "Come, children, die with me for the fatherland." Many of his soldiers were boys in their young teens. While Frederick the Great called children to go and die, Jesus the Christ called children to come and live. When Jesus said, "Suffer the little children," he meant, "Let them come to me and do not stop them." He was inviting them into abundant life, not into agonizing death. In today's scripture, we read about Jesus' words of the importance of human life when he said, "Aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one sparrow is forgotten by God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid." I love that phrase we hear so often in the Gospels or throughout the Bible. Do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows, many pennies worth of sparrows. You are worth more than that. Our denomination, the American Baptist Churches in the United States of America, developed and is overseeing a program entitled the Penny Project. You heard a little bit when I spoke to the church children this morning. You may have read about it in the summer newsletter. But the Penny Project, the purpose is to raise awareness of the extent of child poverty throughout our country and support programs that respond to the needs of children in poverty. Since 2010, the American Baptist Home Mission Society has been encouraging churches to collect pennies or their equivalent for children's programs in their own communities. It's not money that's going to Valley Forge and they're sending it out. Churches collect the pennies, they choose the recipients, and it's working in each local community. In this case, each penny does not represent 2.5 sparrows. Rather, each penny represents one child who is living in poverty in the U.S. When the program was started, the goal was 14 million pennies, one for each child in poverty. As the program was approaching the target date for its end, the leaders decided to up the ante by adding another 1 million pennies to the goal for a total of 15 million pennies. Unfortunately, a truer reflection of today's situation. As of July of this year, 10 million pennies had been collected and donated to agencies across this country that serve the needs of children. And at that time, our denomination offered a plea and a challenge to raise the additional 5 million pennies needed to meet the new goal. 2 months have elapsed since that updated challenge went out. And as of yesterday, 10,104,522 pennies have been reported as being collected by American Baptist churches and organizations. If you haven't done the math yet, I'll let you know. That means there's only 4,895,478 pennies to go by December 15th. As I mentioned earlier, a member of our church has offered his own challenge to our congregation, is encouraging us to collect 200,000 pennies or their equivalent as our part of reaching the denomination's goal. And this person and his wife are so passionate about this cause that they are funding the challenge. They're not just throwing that challenge out, but they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're funding that with a tithe of the challenge in honor of their grandchildren. The Boards of Christian Education and Christian Mission have accepted the endeavor. The American Baptist Women's Ministries and Sunday school students are devoting funds. And the coffee hour contributions through November will go to the Penny Project as well. A few individuals have already submitted some money, but it will take all of our efforts to meet the challenge that's been put before us. You may be thinking, I don't want to carry all those pennies to church. We don't want you to either. We'll gladly accept other, bring your pennies if you want to, but we'll also accept other coins, bills, and even checks. Just make sure your donation is clearly marked for the Penny Project. In addition, this should be an over and above gift or our spare change, not an amount that we divert from other financial giving to the church. The local recipients of our funds have not yet been finalized, but every penny or its equivalent that we collect will go directly to one or more local organization that works with children living in poverty. Now, you may be asking yourself, just how much poverty is there in Malden? I'd like to share some statistics with you that the Action for Boston Community Development collected this spring for the city of Malden. I also have statistics not with me, but I have access to statistics for Medford and Everett, but this is a Malden church, so I'm talking about Malden. The population of Malden is 59,803 residents. 19.7% of those are under 18 years of age, about a fifth of the population. 6.3% of the population are under 5 years of age. That's almost 3,800 children under 5 years of age living in Malden. Poverty, Massachusetts level is at 11.8. Malden, 18.1%, meaning a family of four earns no more than $24,250 per year. That's the level of poverty. And 25% of those living in poverty in Malden are under 18 years of age. 25% of those in poverty in Malden are under 18 years of age, our children and teenagers. These may be shocking facts for some. They may be disturbing information for others. But I return to the question I asked earlier. Do we love the little children of the world? For at least 30 years, our congregation has partnered with the Head Start program in Malden to provide space for early education for low-income children by helping people, changing lives, and building communities. Our congregation was also one of the original supporters of the organization that has evolved into Housing Families, as they provide housing for families who are transitioned from homelessness and temporary shelter to permanent housing. And we continue to support their work through donations of back-to-school supplies, Christmas gifts for their families, and other programs that they sponsor. In addition, we are partners with Habitat for Humanity and Bread of Life as they service low-income families with housing and food. That's what the church is doing. We can be very proud of it. But what about us as individuals, those sitting in the pew as people? How do we demonstrate our love for the little children of the world? In one of the post-resurrection accounts in the Bible, the risen Christ asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And most translations of the text record Jesus' following response as, "Feed my lambs." But some scholars believe that Jesus may well have referred, instead of lambs, referred to children. One translation renders Jesus' words this way, "Take care of my children." Faithfulness to God and obedience to Jesus means that we take care of God's children. It's a test of our love for Christ. I started this message with some dire and disturbing facts about children in our world and asked the rhetorical question if we love them. But I'd like to close with some lighter-hearted words from the song Pennies from Heaven by Johnny Burke that use the imagery of pennies and shows that we can bring hope and love. Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortunes falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. In the coming 2 months, may we consider how we may shower pennies from heaven on some of the little children of the world who live near us. Let's pray together. And the prayer I'm going to use this morning are words from Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. So let's pray together. Lord, hear the cries of children who struggle every day, caught up in failing systems that steal their hope away. Some find they're lost to violence, then lost in foster care. They long for life's abundance. Lord, hear their pleading prayer. Lord, hear the cries of children who find they're moved along through courts and plans and programs where many things go wrong, where doors are closed to justice, where children fear in pain, where some are simply processed. Lord, hear their cries again. Lord, hear the cries of children who long to laugh and dance, yet from their very naming don't seem to stand a chance. When people all around them have egos, budgets, plans, we pray you'll hear and save them, O God who understands. Lord, hear the cries of children who simply ask for bread, yet find the world around them provides a stone instead. When wars are fully funded and schools are running bare, when benefits are ended, Lord, hear your children's prayer. Lord, hear the cries of children, and hear the voices, too, that seek to offer welcome, that seek a world that's new, that work to change the system, that sing sweet lullabies. May we, with love and wisdom, respond to children's cries. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Because I Have Been Given Much, number 531.
Thank you.
please join me in prayer? Gracious God, you have indeed blessed us with so much. Accept and use all that we offer to further your kingdom. May our pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, bills, and checks for the Penny Project build up your children and be a visible sign of your love and ours to those in need. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.